Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
It continues to set a standard of excellence for all of us. Bill Hillgrove, the voice of Pitt football and the Pittsburgh Steelers. My friend, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure. And, you know, football's here, and this is my first two-game weekend, so I'm kind of looking forward to it because I think both games will be exciting.
They will be. And, Bill, congratulations to you on your 50th season of Pitt football to go with 55 in basketball and your 30th season of doing the Steelers. Congratulations on that. Has it been fun to look back when people have interviewed about you about it? Or are you such a forward-thinking guy, which usually you are? Has it been like, okay, I know I have to look back on my career?
Yeah, it's fun. And if you are still doing it, it's tough to be reflective. I'm kind of paraphrasing Mike Tomlin. But, yeah. You know, when people ask him to measure the club up during the season, he said, let's talk about looking back at the end of the year. And, you know, I look back, and it's been a good ride and a fun ride. And, Steve, frankly, I'm blessed to have been able to do it in my hometown. That to me is pretty special.
Yeah, there's no question. And you set a standard of excellence for all of us and an example for us to follow, and I appreciate that so much. I do want to touch on one quick story. I was reading, I think it was in the Tribune, I think, and it was about the nuns and you then having to play, what, a brat in a play when you were younger?
Yes. I showed up at the radio TV school run by a sister of charity named Sister Rosalie.
Yes.
And I thought I'd learn how to fix radios and TVs because my dad was an electrician. And I thought, you know, I'd just assume that natural progression in the family. And she handed me a script, and I read it, and she said, exactly what I'm looking for, a 13-year-old brat. And I said, Sister, I don't need a script for that. And, you know, I found out at a young age, 13, that I had a gift on this side of the microphone, and it's been fun ever since.
Yeah, it's been a gift all of us have enjoyed. Now let's get to the teams that you cover. I want to start with Pitt football. They come off the opener. They win it. They've got Cincinnati, so that's a good one right out of the second week of the season. But what did you learn last week, and what do you think Pat Narduzzi wants to learn this week? And of course, he wants to learn it in victory, but what do you think he's looking to learn?
I think he was surprised, as I was surprised, and anybody who's followed them closely was surprised at the running ability of Phil Jurkovec.
Yeah,
you know, in preseason, these guys wear red shirts, the quarterbacks, and so you just don't know what they can do. But, man, he showed me not only the ability to run, and he's 6'5", 235, but, you know, his wizardry with the ball faking. When he ran for that 23-yard touchdown, I didn't pick him up until he was almost in the end zone because I'm looking at the running back. Yeah. And, you know, that's an element that they didn't have last year, and I think it hurt them. And I think that's going to help this offense score a lot of points.
And I know he transferred in from Boston College, but he's a Pittsburgh guy, right?
Yeah, Pine Richland, and was highly recruited coming out of that school, and chose Notre Dame. Obviously spent a year there and felt that, you know, there were greener pastures, and he ended up at Boston College, overcame some injuries, but that's where he met Frank Frank Cignetti Jr., who's now his offensive coordinator, and, you know, you can tell they're on the same page. And so I think it augurs well for both. Obviously, Phil playing to position himself for a good draft in the spring, and obviously can help this football team maintain its winning ways. They won 10 each of the last 2 years, and we haven't seen that since the Jackie Sherrill year. So, you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah, no question. You talked about the running ability on the touchdown play. When you watch him throw the ball, what kind of element is he bringing to the table that you obviously appreciated at Boston College but appreciate more now at Pitt?
He sees the field very well. He's accurate. I remember watching him in a drill one day when he rolled left and threw it to the netting on the goalpost that had a little pocket in it. And he was the only one of the quarterbacks that hit it running left twice in a row. And then back to the right, he did the same thing.
Yeah.
He's very accurate, and I think that's going to augur well. Because, let's face it, they don't have a real experienced receiver group. When you talk about Donte Mumfield and Bub Means, they didn't really have the kind of, you know, big year last year that you'd hope a returning leader would have. But you know what? They're fast and they're very capable, and I think he's comfortable with the tight ends, and I think that's going to be an exciting part of their offense, that they'll emphasize that tight end in the middle of the field. So I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
And now the second game will be the one with the Steelers and the 49ers. The Steelers came on last year. They finished 9-8. Kenny Pickett now is into his second season. Retooled parts of the offensive line. Not all of it, but parts of it. What did you see in the preseason, whether it was a camp or even in a preseason game, where you said, you know what, they're a better team?
A couple of things. Number one, I think last year they scored 30 points twice, I believe, in 17 games. And in, you know, in the preseason, I believe they averaged about 27. They score a lot of points. I think the most important thing I saw was the fact that Pickett was able to take opening drives down the field and put seven on the board. I don't know that we saw it all that much last year. And if we did, it wasn't until late in the season when Kenny finally had settled in. I think the big difference between this team and last year, we're talking about depth. We never mentioned it last year. And, you know, they have depth. Well, they had it at tight end. They could afford to cut Zach Gentry, who ended up on a practice squad, the Bengals practice squad, as I believe. They traded away two offensive linemen. They have depth at inside linebacker, which we didn't see last year. And they also have some thumpers. You know, they missed Vince Williams and his ability to really create physical havoc in that middle. Miles Jack led them in tackles, but as we saw with his retirement, he was at the tail end anyhow. But with Landon Roberts and Quan Alexander and Cole Holcomb, you know, that's a completely rebuilt interior linebacker corps that's going to really bring physicality. You know, I hope that Cam Hayward plays on Sunday, but he didn't practice Thursday. That's not an anomaly. You know, he takes a lot of days off. Hey, he's long of tooth. He's been around since Roosevelt was in office. Teddy. I really think Larry Ogunjobi has to recover from a foot injury for them to, you know, really be a dominant up front group defensively. But I look forward to a good performance. And Lord knows, San Francisco, they're talented on both sides of the ball. They're well coached. Kyle Shanahan's done a great job. George Kittle may not play. I think Mike Tomlin was spot on about Nick Bosa. He said, well, he'll sign, just like T.J. Watt signed. You know, there's a lot of pressure on both sides as that opener comes nigh. And how much he's going to play remains to be seen. But he certainly, you know, doesn't need any recommendations from me. He's one of the best edge rushers in the business.
Yeah, well, two of the best in the business will be on the same field between Watt and Bosa. It's unbelievable. On a local note, you had a chance to take a really good look at Joey Porter Jr. Can he help them this year?
Yes. You know, and he was held up a little bit by an injury that kept him out of the one preseason game. But I think they're going to bring him along slowly, as they should with a rookie. I don't think you do him or yourself any good by throwing a rookie to the fire. Yeah. There are very few rookies that can start right away, especially if it's the offensive line. And Broderick Jones shows flashes, and he is physical, and he likes to embarrass people, and he likes to pancake. But, you know, Dan Moore has the experience, and I think you spot Broderick Jones so that he doesn't, you know, take backward steps. You don't want that from a young player at this stage, and I think Porter's in that same category.
Well, Bill, looking forward to hearing it all. Appreciate it, and again, great respect as to what you've done to this point in your career, and thank goodness you're going to keep on going. That's what we love. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Steve. Let's do it again.